Welcome to the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Tate. We have a great show for you this week. The main event is the protege and torchbearer for the underground legend, Ron Bauer. Tom Gaddis is my guest. We discuss how he became a student of the legendary magician and how he is carrying Ron's legacy forward. Nick Lacapa stops by the show to discuss the featured product of the week by Roddy McGee. Before all of that, we kick things off with one of our quickfire segments where your favorite magicians discuss the reading material they would prefer if they were stranded at sea. This week, the entertainment director for the Chicago Magic Lounge, Benjamin Barnes, joins me for Desert Island Magic Books.
Benjamin Barnes, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast for Desert Island Magic Books. Let's say you wash up on a desert island with one magic book, and it's made of Tyvek, so it's not going to fall apart in the wind and the rain and the sand. What is your desert island magic book?
My desert island magic book would be Card Shark by Darwin Ortiz.
That's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
That's one of those that, like, I leafed through it when I lived in L.A. and was a member of the castle and got to explore their library on a regular basis. But it's one of those books on my, like, want list.
Yeah.
I want to get it. But there's some really cool stuff in there.
Oh, my God. Yes. And what's great is if you're stuck on a desert island,
yeah,
a lot of that magic is not easy to do.
No.
So it will take you time. So you can fill those years alone on the island, perfecting those difficult techniques and working with those great tricks.
Is there any trick in there that you find yourself drawn to that you, like, either love performing or find coming back to over and over again to read?
Yes. Hands down, time and again, it's a time travel trick.
What happens in the effect?
So you take a new, completely sealed deck of cards, you break the seals, you shuffle the cards, and in the process of going back in time, the deck writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the cards can travel back in time, but not space.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say that line, you go to the card box, which is completely sealed again,
mm-hmm,
cellophane and all, but it's empty.
It's such a beautiful
effect.
So
great. So great.
I love that. I love the idea of a deck resealing itself without the cards inside,
yep,
of it. It's just such an... It's one of those things that just marks Darwin Ortiz as one of the greats.
Yeah, it's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. There's a lot to take away from that book. Some,
yep,
really great slides, some really great tricks, and just Darwin's thinking.
Yeah.
And it's sort of almost like a precursor to the other books he wrote on, like strong magic,
yep,
and designing miracles.
Yep.
You can see the early seeds of him sharing how this stuff works.
Yeah, I love Darwin Ortiz, so that's my book.
Oh, well, Ben Barnes, Card Shark by Darwin Ortiz is a fantastic book. Thanks for joining us here in Desert Island Magic Books.
Oh, it's great. My pleasure.
Thanks so much to Ben for joining me on the show. Hop back a couple of episodes and give his interview a listen. I think you'll find it fascinating to find out what bookers are really looking for. Now, on to the main event. Tom Gaddis is an accomplished performer and business advisor who's performed all over the world. When he was first getting his start, he became a student and then close friend and confidant of Ron Bauer. Ron was a regular at the Magic Castle, and his routines and ideas were sought after by professionals around the globe. He eventually published a series of booklets known as the Private Studies. These became must-read texts, and many of the routines are standards that are still performed by working professionals today. Tom joined me in the studio to discuss his relationship with Ron, the Private Studies, and now you get to join our conversation.
Tom Gaddis, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm really excited to have you. So we met at Magic Live, which was a lot of fun. You were blowing my mind all weekend. And then we started talking about the fact that you would be coming to Penguin to lecture on your dear friend and mentor Ron Bauer's material, which is really exciting because he produced some fantastic booklets that have been a guiding light for many magicians.
Yeah, by the way, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate being here. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun at Magic Live.
Yeah.
And I've been super excited to get here to Penguin to share this stuff from Ron because, you know, I've had the pleasure of, I lived in Michigan for 5 years, mm-hmm, and pretty much spent every non-working hour at Ron's house trying to learn, you know, these various tricks and some of the techniques and things that he does because, well, maybe the best place to start is for me to just kind of tell you what happened the first time I met him.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So this is the second one of these that we've done where we've had sort of like a student slash mentee,
yeah,
of a magician because Tom Dobrowolski did this with The Magic of Jim Ryan. And having you here, someone who spent a significant amount of time with Ron, being able to share his material in a really positive light is just awesome. So I want to start, how'd you meet him? Let's start there and then,
yeah,
get into it.
Yeah, sure. So at the time when I first met Ron, like, I had been a professional magician for a while. So I had, I started when I was young. I was doing a lot of shows. I ended up working at Malone's Magic Bar in Boca Raton, Florida,
mm-hmm,
for 3 or 4 years. I worked there. And, you know, my first Magic teacher was Lance Pierce. I knew Roger Klaus. I'm here at Malone's. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much felt like I was on the inside track of Magic.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I knew all the underground card stuff that was going around, and I worked a lot on sleight of hand.
Yeah. By the time you met Ron, you were no spring chicken. I mean, like, you'd been around the block.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just figured I kind of knew all that stuff. And so I moved to Michigan, and I meet this guy at a Barnes & Noble. And I said, well, would you do something for me? Mm-hmm. He proceeds to do three card tricks that completely fool me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea how he did them. And not only did they fool me, but they were funny. Like,
yeah.
He was funny. He was interesting. It was entertaining. And I was just blown away. I was like, man, this is great. And I asked him to teach me one of the tricks. And when he goes to teach me the trick, he's using a move that I knew.
Yeah.
And not only did I not see it, but like, I didn't even think that was the move he was doing.
That's happened to me a couple of times with a couple of magicians. And it's when you are fooled with a move that you know, it's even better.
Yeah. And it's not even the being fooled by it. It's that it just looked like he wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. And yet there was all this sleight of hand going on in the background that I just didn't see. Mm-hmm. Not only did I not see it, but I didn't even sense it was going on. Mm-hmm. And I had never experienced that from any of the other magicians I'd ever seen. I'd always almost like, yeah. I'd see other magicians and like, yeah, the sleight of hand looked good, but I always kind of knew something was going on, even though I didn't really know quite what.
And to have that happen to you in a Barnes & Noble, yeah. of all places,
in Michigan for this guy. And I was like, something's different about this guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the time he was starting to put out the private study series. And so I started to help him with that and really just tried to learn as much as I could from him. And, you know, so people kind of understand who Ron is, because maybe people don't even know, maybe they've heard the name Ron Bauer, but they...
My first introduction to Ron was the private study series, because I came across these in a magic shop, and they're small pamphlets. They've got not quite clip art, but very cartoonish, bright covers, and they're slim volumes, all paperback. And when you look at it, you're like, oh, somebody just like left some magic notes here. But it gives you a direction. It gives you a script. It gives you a deep study on not just Ron's tricks, but also other tricks that were sort of publicly available. Am I describing this correctly?
Yeah, you're right on track. We call them monographs.
Monographs.
Right? So they're little monographs. Each one is a single trick.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the trick has been selected to illustrate certain theatrical and performing principles.
Yeah.
So a lot of the what are in the monographs as RB comments are. Mm-hmm. His thoughts and notes on how to add the theatrical elements to this to make them play, mm-hmm. how to make it seem like it's you doing it and not somebody else.
It's all the stuff that you would get if you were in a session with someone who was teaching you the trick, rather than just the dry technical stuff that we're used to.
Yeah, there's that. There's also like if you were to like really what you get from them is. It's just like if you had a writer and a director helping you on your magic show.
Exactly.
Right? And those are the kind of comments that are throughout the monographs are like, look, if I were going to do this is how I would think about saying this line, and here's mm-hmm. where I would add a pause, and you might want to think about this. And, you know, a lot of times the way that me and some of my friends use those scripts is mm-hmm. we'll all learn one. We'll go out into the world,
mm-hmm.
do the trick, and then we all get together and sit down and talk about, well, what reactions did we get? And sometimes people will be like, oh, well, I got a laugh here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I didn't get a laugh there. Like, what are you doing there that
I'm
not maybe realizing is going on? And by working together and discussing them as a mm-hmm. group, we all get better, right? And really thinking about them, like, it's a level of kind of thinking about your magic that a lot of people don't do in terms of, like, you know, when you look at those monographs, you read a line and you say, okay, mm-hmm. well, what is the audience thinking now that I've said that?
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that line, how should I say it? Because there's a difference, right? We talk a lot in the series about subtext. So,
yeah, like, I thought that was something that's interesting is that you will get a script in a magic book, but you don't get the subtext, which sometimes can completely, the subtext of the trick, your internal monologue, can completely change the outward nature of the trick.
It does. Yeah. And in the theater,
mm-hmm.
right? I think, I don't know if we were talking about this in Magic Live or not.
Sorry to interrupt, but this week the show is brought to you by Stargate from Roddy McGee. Nick LaCapo joined me via Zoom to discuss this physics-breaking miracle.
Nick, I'm looking for a quirky trick to add into my close-up set.
Say no more.
I need something weird. I need something weird and visual.
Yeah,
and
no,
cool.
I got it. It's, wait a minute. Yes. How weird do you want it?
I want it to be super. I want to, like, do you ever see the film Stargate where, like, yeah, the, like, well, there was like wormholes and stuff?
There, like, is exactly the trick. It's by Roddy McGee and it's called Stargate.
No way.
And it's ridiculous. Like, there's a lot to talk about here. Here's what happens. You tell somebody that you're going to create a wormhole, or do you know how wormholes work? And you have a card box with a hole in the center of it, and you can show it to them. Mm-hmm. And so you take the you take your Sharpie and you stick it through the center of the card box, and you kind of like spin the card box on the hole. No big deal, right? Like, so the Sharpie is going through the box and it's sticking out the other side, and you can spin the card box on the Sharpie. So far, so what, right? But then you say that wormholes have this thing where, like, yeah, you go in one way, but it comes out in a different place. You move the end of the Sharpie, like visually, you drag it down to the corner of the card box. So now the Sharpie is entering the side, the back of the card box, and the exit of it is down in the corner. But that's not it, because you can then, like, kind of remove the Sharpie from the card box and then put it back in. And the Sharpie is also being removed from the alternate corner. I mean, it's a visual that doesn't lend itself to this podcast, but like...
Like, did you ever play the game Portal? It looks like the game Portal in real life. It's so hard to, like, visualize how this thing would work.
Right. So then after you do that for however long you want to, you can drag the Sharpie back up to the center hole. You pull the Sharpie out, and everything's immediately examinable, which is stupid. It's exactly that. It's a bit of strange. It's a bit of weird, but it definitely boldly allows you to boldly go where no marker has gone before.
I don't think there's a better way to say it than that. Other than I hate Roddy McGee's brain with the most respect in the world. I have no idea how he figured this out, but it's so good. Stargate by Roddy McGee. Check it out.
That was Stargate by Roddy McGee, available at penguinmagic.com. As always, the unbelievable listeners to our show receive 25% off the featured product of the week when they enter a special discount code at checkout. This week, that code is GATEWAY. That's GATEWAY, all one word, GATEWAY, for 25% off Stargate by Roddy McGee when you enter that discount code at checkout. That code is only good for Stargate and only good until the next episode of this show airs. Now, back to my conversation with Tom Gaddis.
The subtext of the trick, your internal monologue, can completely change the outward nature of the trick.
It does. Yeah. And in the theater, mm-hmm. right, I think, I don't know if we were talking about this in Magic Live or not. An actor, right?
Yeah.
They don't write the lines. Mm-mm. They don't do anything. So what do they get an Oscar for?
Like, it's subtext is really,
It's really their interpretation. Their interpretation of the text. Mm-hmm. So when you say, oh, that guy does Hamlet really great, mm-hmm. you're saying, like, oh, well, he really interprets those pre-written lines in a way that made me believe them and made me feel emotions when he said mm-hmm. them. Now, the way an actor does that is they get a script, and the first thing they do is start going through it and looking for words that they can color and say in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a really good example of subtext is, like, I can say, hey, he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Or I can say, oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't mean he's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about when we're talking about subtext. So really thinking about how you do that in your tricks can change the tricks. And that, by the way, is why when you see several people do tricks from the private study series, none of them look like Ron doing that.
Yeah.
And none of them will look like me doing it. Even though we're all doing the same lines, mm-hmm. we all bring our own interpretation to it, which can be completely unique to us.
It's a really interesting series. And I also like how each one is done sort of independently to illustrate a certain principle or a certain move or even study a trick. But even outside of that, towards the end, like we were just talking about the Gypsy Curse effect. There's another effect in the study that is the Haunted Ring.
The Cursed Ring.
Yeah. And there's always these little addendums towards the end where it's like, hey, by the way, if you... normally I do it with this trick over here. You don't need to, but if you do, here is how these two tricks flow together, at least in mine, and here's the subtext, and here's all of this study that operates completely independently of everything else. But there's... It's just really fascinating how Ron is able to hone in on what is so interesting and what to take away from this trick and how to make it work with something else and then how the two different subtexts mix with one another.
Yeah, and there's actually a third trick, Gadabout Coins. Gadabout Coins, the Cursed Ring, and Gypsy Curse all are kind of a similarly themed type things. The other thing I think that's worth noting for people that maybe have never looked at the series or just thought, oh, they, you know, those covers look kind of cartoonish. It can't be that good. There's a lot of really great stuff in there about technique, specifically about how to do sleight of hand without tells. And you know what a tell is, right? Little actions that tell you're doing something. I had to get that joke in there. Sorry, Eric.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was like, wait a minute. He's setting me up for a joke, and I can't remember what the joke is.
So, but if you're someone who has never tried sleight of hand or you've stayed away from it because you've thought, oh, my hands are too small or, oh, I mean, really this series is something you want to look at because you'll find in there a way to learn sleight of hand that's actually easy.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing pretty advanced stuff and it's not as hard as you think it is. And the way it's explained there makes it easy. Ron always says, if it's not easy, don't do it. So there's very little technically, like once you understand a few certain things, you'll be able to do them.
How did you find that your relationship with Ron grew as you started helping with this series?
Well, you know, Ron, so just to give a little background on Ron. So Ron is 84. He turned 84 this year. And he was a professional magician way back in the 50s, the 60s. In the 70s, he had one of the largest entertainment companies in the Detroit area. It was called Mr. Tricks Enterprises. And he also worked at a really exclusive restaurant in Detroit called the Kenwood Club. He was kind of like the Don Allen of Detroit. He was doing that there. And young, good-looking guy. Him and Don Allen were friends. It's interesting. I was just talking to one of my friends, Chuck, who also knows Ron, and he was telling me how he was sitting with Ron, and Ron was showing him how to Pharaoh Shuffle. And Chuck was like, well, who taught you how to Pharaoh Shuffle? And Ron was like, Ed Marlowe. And Chuck was like, oh, okay, Ed Marlowe. So, you know, Ron was in his 20s, and he knew Ed, and him and Ed were really good friends for many, many years, friends with Don Allen. Charlie Miller was one of his good friends.
He comes from that era.
He was in the 80s. He was in Hollywood doing stuff. So he spent a lot of time at the Magic Castle and talking to Vernon and all those things. So, you know, that's the group of people that he hung around and ran with. And you know, a lot of that, don't let the kind of animated style of those booklets fool you. Like a lot of that stuff in there are things that he's kept close to the vest for 30, 40 years. That's how he got the name, The Underground Legend, because he just didn't do things for magicians. He kept all that stuff pretty quiet.
I think what I find when I go to a magic convention, I go through the dealer's hall, and there's like a giant box of notes and magazines. The ones that look very homemade are the ones that I go to. Just because that's where some of the best hidden secrets are. And I think it's like, you know, in an era today where everything can be, you know, even an individual can slickly produce some, like a hardcover book themselves. You have to remember that when things like this were released, that just wasn't available to any magician who was publishing stuff. And so that's kind of why they look that way, is because they come from a certain era, but it's full of just amazing stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when we were at Magic Live, I did the private studies for several people. And most of the time when somebody would ask me, like, well, where's that trick from? And I would say, it's from the Ron Bauer private study series. They'd go, oh no, I have those. Like, that's what that trick looks like? Like, that's what's in there?
We just had that experience this afternoon with another member of the Penguin team where they were like, oh, I've never seen that trick before. And it's like, no, you know exactly where that trick is from.
Yeah. Well, I fooled him kind of bad with it. So he was like,
We're about out of time. Before we go, any stories about Ron that you're rather fond of that you can share with us? I know you're going to share some of these in the lecture, but I know our podcast listeners probably want to hear a little bit about Ron before you take off.
Yeah, you know, I think, let me try to think of a good one here. I should have prepared one, shouldn't I? So, you know, I'll tell you a funny story about Ron, give you a sense of his sense of humor.
Yeah.
So one time Rafael Benatar was coming
First of all, I love every story that starts with one time Rafael Benatar.
Yeah.
Please go ahead. So
Rafael Benatar is coming to Detroit, and he wants to get together with Ron. Mm-hmm. And so me and John Dowdy and Ron, we head to the airport mm-hmm. to pick up Rafael Benatar. Well, we get in Ron's car, and when John and I look over, Ron is wearing a baseball cap that has a fake ponytail coming out of the back, which immediately causes us to burst into laughter because we're like, what is with this ponytail?
Yeah.
And he says, that's why I put it on when in the car, so you guys would stop laughing by the time we get to the airport. So we're like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
So we pick Rafael up at the airport, mm-hmm. and he's got this, Ron now has this ponytail. Mm-hmm. Him and Rafael are talking, never says anything. Mm-hmm. We go to the restaurant to eat. Well, before Ron goes in the restaurant, he leaves the hat in the car. Mm-hmm. So now for the first 10 minutes that we're at the restaurant, Rafael is like trying to look to see where the ponytail went, but he doesn't want to be rude and say, hey, didn't you have a ponytail when we walked in here? And it was really funny. Ron finally let him in on the joke.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It was great.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Before we go, I know you have your own podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can find it?
Sure. So I have a business podcast. It's called What's the Secret? I'm not a professional magician any longer. Mm-hmm. I own an online business. We develop software and we have information products, mainly in the digital agency space, teaching mm-hmm. people how to do that. So if anybody's interested in something like that, you can always go to tomgaddis.com, check out what I've got going there. It's nothing magic though, so don't go there expecting to see tricks.
It takes all kinds to make the magic world better, and sometimes those people are business consultants.
Yep, yeah, there you go.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining us on the Penguin Magic Podcast, and I can't wait to see the performance tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Eric. It's going to be fun.
That's going to do it for this week, kids. Thanks so much to Tom for being on the show, and thanks to you for listening. And extra thanks to everyone who came out to the Chicago Magic Lounge last week to say hello, and a special shout out to Rebecca Spector, who I know listens to this show and who I got to share the stage with this week. I always love my time in Chicago. And as a special heads up, in a few weeks, I'll be in San Diego performing at the Mystique Dining Lounge in La Jolla, April 6th to the 9th, and then over to the Prestige Theater in downtown San Diego the 10th through the 16th. Before that, I'll be in Erie, PA on April 1st with Denny Corby. Also, a special shout out to Jay Swedick and David Newell, who were just elected the Sergeant at Arms and Vice President of IBM Ring 7 here in Columbus. Glad to have you on our leadership team. As always, we're a weekly podcast, so be sure to like and subscribe, as well as share your favorite episodes on the social media platform that you're hiding from the Mandalorian spoilers on. If you wanted to reach out to me about anything on this week's show, you'll have to hold up a sign of one of the live-streamed NHRL combat robot matches. I ran out of BattleBots episodes, and now I'm watching the lower weight classes fight. Guys, this might be a bigger obsession than my Lego phase, but if watching amateur combat robotics isn't your cup of tea, you can always hit me up on Instagram at Eric Tate. That's at ERIKTAIT. From me and everyone else here at the P3 Magic Studios, practice, practice, perform.